You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, I hope everybody has had a great week. I know mine has been busy, and I can only imagine how many of you out there have had an even busier week, because it is officially back to school, man. The kids are back at school. Parents, I know you're excited. I know you're ecstatic, man, that the kids are going back. I've been seeing a lot of the kids lined up and, you know, school buses, which means more traffic in the morning. But again, I know people are happy the kids are back at school. Maybe not so much the kids, but parents, I know, legal guardians, like, I know y'all are excited and happy. But yeah, man, I hope everybody have been productive this week, got some things done, maybe some goals scratched off your list, the things that you've been wanting to accomplish, press it forward to whatever it is that you want to get done this month. Man, we got a new month here just a new, like I always like to say, it's a new month with new opportunities and new blessings, man. So just excited to see what August is going to do for us all. And man, look, the weather is it feels good outside. It's not crazy hot. It's starting to cool off a little bit, man. So look, fall is approaching soon, and look, fall means football. Like I said before in my previous show, man, football is back, man. We officially started the preseason last night, again, that much closer to the NFL, and then a couple of more Saturdays we'll be looking at some college football, man. But yeah, with that, man, let's dive into things, man. I wanted to talk about a few things that have been going on since our last conversation. And look, I promise y'all, I told y'all, and I promised y'all that I would be back, and here I am. I know I've been doing some shows and it had a break here, you know, but I'm back like I said I would, back like I never left. But with that, man, let's talk about what's been going on in Dallas, man. In my last show, I did speak about, things that were going on with Terry McLaurin. And I mentioned that Micah Parsons was unhappy. Shortly after I actually released my last episode, the news broke that Micah Parsons had officially requested a trade from the Dallas Cowboys. So, again, the Pro Bowl pass rusher, he was not participating as he awaited a contract extension, and he officially did ask to be traded. Now, he did write a very, very long message on his notes in his iPhone, in which he posted. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm going to, I guess, briefly kind of skim over a few things that he was saying throughout his note before I kind of dive into my thoughts on how everything has transpired. Now, Michael Parsons says that, you know, he said, "I did everything I could to show that I wanted to be a Cowboy and wear the star on my helmet. I wanted to play in front of the best fans in sports and make this America's team once again." He also said that, you know, I no longer want to be held to a closed door negotiations without my agent present. Excuse me. I no longer want shots taken at me for getting injured while landing on the line for the organization or fans and my teammates. I no longer want narratives created and spread to the media about me. He says he purposely stayed quiet in hopes of getting something done. But obviously, you know, things have not progressed. And so that led to this. He did also mention, he said, "Look, I met in March. I met with Jerry to talk about leadership. Somehow that conversation turned him talking contract with me. He did engage back and forth in regards to what he wanted from his contract. But he said, at no point did I believe that this was supposed to be a formal negotiation. And, you know, he said that afterward, his agent would reach out, you know, thinking this would get things done. But again, they have been at a standstill, and there has not been a new deal that has been signed. and thus, you know, has led to where we are now currently with him asking to be traded. Same thing, you know, last season, you know, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, they didn't get their respective new deals until the end of the season. So many people are assuming that, you know, Michael Parsons' situation is also going to, you know, follow that same pattern and those same footsteps. But again, like with him requesting a trade, you know, this seems a lot more serious than what people are making it out to be. A lot of people are saying like, hey, like even Jerry Jones is saying like, hey, I wouldn't read too much into that. You know, Jerry Jones is not taking it seriously at all. And, you know, which is odd to me that, you know, arguably the best player on your team, you know, you're not wanting to be proactive in, have a sense of urgency when it comes to getting him a new deal. So, and he also, not only that, one of the other things that led up to, you know, Micah Parsons' trade request, like I mentioned in the note, he said that he no longer wants shots, you know, taken at him. And now Jerry Jones has taken repeated shots at Micah Parsons, and at an opening news conference, of training camp. I don't know if you all saw this, but Jerry Jones actually made a remark about, you know, even if the Cowboys signed Parsons to an extension, it wouldn't guarantee his availability because he could get hit by a car. Now, that's crazy to say as an owner and a general manager to come out of Jerry Jones' mouth. I'm in shock that he would even utter those type of words right in a press conference. And he also said, you know, when the fans were chanting for him to pay Micah Parsons, and he even came out and said, look, it doesn't change anything. We want to pay Micah too. He's got to want to be paid too, which who doesn't want to be paid? Like that's, I feel like that's a idiotic statement to make as a owner. Who doesn't want to be paid? The thing with Jerry Jones and what it's always been with Jerry Jones has been about control, right? Jerry Jones wants to control the entire narrative. He wants to control the situation. He wants to be bow down to. And I think that, you know, when players don't bow down to Jerry Jones, he's obviously, you know, not going to move with a sense of urgency. But when it almost seems like when players speak up about, you know, what they feel their worth is and what they need to be paid based off of the numbers that they put up, it seems as though there's always this conflict in these issues when it comes to Jerry Jones. I mean, we could take this even back to into the 90s, right? Like, even with Emmitt Smith, you know, he missed two regular season games in 93, and he had gotten to the point where he asked to move on, to be traded, right? Now, Jerry Jones ultimately did pay their stars, like, you know, Prescott, Zeke Elliott, you know, Zach Martin and CeeDee Lamb, like he eventually did, you know, pay them. But I just don't think that Jerry Jones just takes this seriously. I don't think that he really feels as though Michael Parsons is being serious about what he's saying about wanting to be traded. And I think he is, right? Now, will that happen? No. Jerry Jones is not going to trade Michael Parsons, unfortunately. If he did, look, I know a guy that would love to talk contract talks. He goes by the name of Ryan Poles up in Chicago, who will be open and willing to have those discussions. But it's unfortunate because with Michael Parsons still being on a rookie deal, obviously, you know, Jerry Jones has the leverage in the fact that he can, you know, franchise tag him. Right. Like now he doesn't have to play under the franchise tag, but he can franchise tag him, I think, like twice before he can even become a free agent. It's crazy how, you know, you could be handicapped by an owner and a general manager in the NFL. And that is more than likely like the way that this would pan out. Like he'll get franchise tag. Dak Prescott was franchise tagged and as well. So and it took time for him to get money. Now, if Parsons opts to sit out, he could be fined $50,000 a day if he leaves camp. But because he's on his rookie deal, those fines can be rescinded by the Cowboys. But, you know, and again, CeeDee Lamb went through the same thing, through a similar situation last year with his holdout. Now, Jerry Jones, you know, ultimately he has never lost a star player that he wanted to keep. But I think that Michael Parsons has pushed this further than what, you know, many of those, you know, have done in the past. I think that maybe this may be the furthest that somebody has gone, you know, when it comes to just being vocal and about. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, necessarily with the Emmitt Smith situation, like I don't, you know, it was different. You know, social media wasn't like it wasn't crazy back in the 90s like that. So like, I can only imagine what those conversations were like, you know, behind closed doors and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as being vocal, like in the past, like 10 plus years, I would say that like this is probably, you know, one of the biggest situations where a star player has been like, look, like trade me. And it's been very vocal about it. So, but again, I don't necessarily see Michael Parsons being traded. If he does get traded, like, you know, great. I just hope it's to Chicago. but yeah, we'll continue to monitor the situation. Again, I don't necessarily see it happening. So we will see. Moving on. Well, before I move on, actually, let me give this quick quick little you know, update as far as podcasts. So you are listening to the Lace Up Podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and iHeartRadio. So please like, comment, share, you know, subscribe to the show. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in, man. And would love to welcome any additional listeners to the podcast, man. So appreciate the support. But yeah, jumping back into things, let's move on to the college football preseason coaches poll, because those polls were released. Well, that poll was released. There's been other polls that have been released, but the coaches poll has been released, and I will run down that. I'm not going to go down the whole top 25. I'll just go to the top 10. Feel free to obviously like pull it up, but I'll just go through the top 10 right now. So you got Texas at 1, Ohio State at 2, Penn State at 3, Georgia at 4, Notre Dame at 5, Clemson at 6, Oregon at 7, Bama at 8, LSU at 9, and Miami at 10. So just at first glance, obviously, you got 9 teams in the top 25. 4 of them are in the top 10, which are, you know, have been your, obviously, like who you expect as far as like SEC goes, with Texas, Georgia, Bama, and LSU. And people, you know, out of some other polls that I, well, let me not focus on other polls. Let me focus on this one first. But we get, you know, a 1-2 matchup. Obviously, this is preseason and the actual official rankings don't come out till later on in the season. But with the preseason polls, I think they kind of follow that going into the season. So we would get a 1-2 matchup if this stays like the same. It would be a 1-2 matchup with Texas and Ohio State, which would be exciting. People have been pretty high on Penn State. I'm not sure why. I'm kind of confused at that. I get it that they you know, made a run in the playoff and everything like that. But I'm still like, maybe it's their defense. You know, obviously you got Drew Aller coming back. I'm not like too high on Drew Aller at Penn State, but maybe it's Penn State's defense. I don't know, but people have been pretty high on them. So I don't know. And then Notre Dame is another team people have been pretty high on. I've seen like Notre Dame, you know, in some people's polls at 3, like, which is pretty interesting to me. I get it. They made the national championship last year, but we'll have to see kind of, you know, how they look coming out. I'll reserve my judgment until, you know, I actually could see on the field. Clemson has been a team that has been, you know, talked about coming in with the, you know, returning starters that they have. People are talking about Clemson as being that team that's being sneaky. You're currently, again, they're at six in the polls. You got Bama. Obviously, Bama's sitting right there at the, you know, bottom half of the top 10, which is okay. You know, look, I get it. You know, everybody is talking about, oh, they have uncertainty at quarterback and, you know, this, that, and the third. But what you fail to realize, Alabama's not the only team that's starting new quarterbacks, right? You got Texas. You got Ohio State. You have Georgia. You got Bama. Like, Bama's not the only team, right? So, it has yet to be seen, you know, and I do think that whatever quarterback, one or two quarterbacks out of those, you know, out of those teams that really can catch on and things can start clicking, you know, at the right time, preferably like sooner than later. But, you know, whatever new quarterback adjusts and settles in like that, that's going to be the X factor, you know, that's going to determine how far that these teams can go in the ceiling. And the thing about Alabama and, you know, that people are failing to realize as well is the good thing, you know, with a guy like Ryan Grubb coming in, which is a guy who, you know, Kalen DeBoer wanted, you know, you got Ryan Grubb coming in as the OC, and then you got, you know, Ty Simpson and Keelan and Austin Mack, but right now, obviously, it's looking like Ty Simpson is the starter. But I'm not ruling out my guy Keelan Russell. But you know, it's going to be a new look at the quarterback position, right? And I think that this is an opportunity for them to take advantage of you know, having a good offensive line, having the weapons around them, especially with Isaiah Horton, you bringing him in from Miami, you got some good guys. And then the defense is going to be really good, right? And I think that that's going to be a strength of Alabama's team as the offense is meshing and figuring this thing out. So don't count Alabama out yet, man. A lot of people have been disrespectful saying, you know, four losses and all. I'm like, look, y'all are let's not get disrespectful now, but we'll see what happens with Alabama. LSU, you know, is a team that obviously they've had their struggles over the year defensively. You know, offensively, LSU has they've always been pretty solid, but defensively over the past years under Brian Kelly, you know, defensively, they have not looked good at all. So it's going to be interesting to see how they come out. And, you know, last year, you know, dropping that first game to USC was huge. That kind of set the tone for them, you know, throughout the rest of their season. Now, their quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, he's actually dealing with some patellar tendonitis in his knee, but it's said that he's not going to miss some significant time, but we'll see how that affects, you know, him going forward, right? And we'll kind of have to monitor that, right? So that'll be something interesting to watch. Now, the last thing, not really any, you know, any other things I would say that are a complete shock or anything like that, but I will say, you know, South Carolina is a team to watch out for. Obviously, you got Lenore Sellers. That could be a team that can make some noise this year. Florida is another team that can make some noise with DJ Lagway. Now that he's out of his, you know, walking boot, it wasn't, you know, anything serious and everything like that. So you got to watch out for some, you know, some of these teams, right? And yeah, we'll as the season is approaching. You know, obviously, I can't wait to dive into the actual matchups the week of, so I can give y'all my true, you know, predictions. I don't want to, you know, spoil anything or say how I'm feeling too much right now. Just giving you guys like a brief kind of, you know, high level overview of where we're standing right now, kind of where I'm at when it comes to these teams. But again, we're only a few Saturdays away, so the excitement is there and looking forward to it. All right, let's talk WNBA, right? I, you know, have an issue right now with what has been going on. And if you don't know where I'm about to go with this, I'm going to fill you in what's been happening at these WNBA games, which is a shame. It's absolutely ridiculous that we're even talking about this and that this is happening. But there have been numerous WNBA games in the past week or so that have been interrupted because of instances where sex toys are being thrown onto the WNBA courts during the games, right? Now, these incidents have happened in Atlanta, Chicago, and L.A. One individual has been arrested in Atlanta. The WNBA obviously has condemned the actions, saying that anyone throwing objects on the court, they're going to be ejected, they're going to be banned. Now, there was a report that came out that there was actually a cryptocurrency group that has claimed responsibility for these incidents, saying that they were that this was part of some marketing scheme for them, which that's just idiotic to me, man. That's stupid. Like, why would you do something like that? Especially, that's disrespectful to, first and foremost, to the women. You know, you have women on this court and you're going to go that far and think this is something that's funny and it's okay to for some marketing scheme for your amusement. Like, that's not cool at all. And I think that everybody involved should be arrested. Like, anybody that is involved. Now, obviously, like, the league is investigating, you know, these claims that this cryptocurrency group is saying that they, you know, they're responsible. There were two people arrested, you know, for the six incidents, but they were not affiliated with the group. So, you know, it has yet to be seen if those claims are true. But they're saying there's some spokesperson out there. And he's saying it's behind a meme coin. And he also has said that, like, he remained anonymous, right? And again, he was just pretty much, I can't find the exact quote. Here it is. I actually found it. So he actually says that we didn't do this because we dislike women's sports or like some of the narratives that are trending right now are ridiculous. Creating disruption at games is like it happens in every single sport, right? We've seen it in the NFL. We've seen it in hockey. You know, fans doing random things to more or less create attention. We knew that in order to get a voice in the space, we had to go out and do some viral stunts to save us from having to pay that influencer cable, sacrifice our souls and the fate of the project or more or less whatever else he's talking about. But first and foremost, that's stupid. Right. Again, that's dumb. What an idiotic statement to make to say that, oh, this happens every single sport. It's OK to try to justify you throwing sex toys on the court at a WNBA game. I mean, that's just inexcusable. And there's nothing else left to be said but to arrest. If you're claiming responsibility for something like that, they need to be found. They need to be arrested, brought in, investigated, which I know the league is obviously doing, but they need to be found expeditiously because you don't want to see something like that, man. It's disrespectful to women before the sport. It's disrespectful to the women. It's disrespectful to the sport. It's disrespectful to other fans. And it's disrespectful to the referees, anybody that's on the court. You know, that's just disrespectful, right? And you don't want to see something like that. And that's just, it's unfortunate that we're in a world where people think that is funny and they think that that's okay. And that, you know, creating chaos like that is going to somehow create some type of you know, noise and success for you and things like that. But let me say this before I move on. You reap what you sow, right? You reap what you sow, and karma always comes back around. So while you think that it's a game, whoever, you know, this group is out here claiming that, you know, these things, if y'all are indeed involved and responsible for this, just know karma always comes back around. So I will leave it at that. I hope that this continues. I hope that we don't have to keep, you know, having these incidents happen. You know, obviously, you know, protect the women, man. And, you know, if fans out there, obviously, like if you see somebody in the crowd doing something stupid, you know, obviously, you know, report it, and we got to get these people out of here. And there has to be, I know I said last thing, but the other thing too is, I don't know how they even got in the game with them first and foremost. So before they even get into these arenas, there needs to be extensive checks, right? What happened to emptying everything out of your pockets, right? Like, I don't know how, or if it's like a inside job, if they have somebody within the arena that they're working with, but they need to make sure we're double, triple checking, like upon entry, to make sure every single thing is out of your pocket. If you have a jacket, empty the pockets of the jacket, the inside and outside pockets, whatever it may be, right? To make sure and ensure that this does not happen again. With that, again, you're listening to Lace Up Podcast right here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and iHeartRadio. Please like, comment, subscribe, share the show, tell a friend to tell a friend. We appreciate all the love and support. And last thing before we wrap up today, I wanted to talk about, you know, what's going on in Cleveland with the Browns, because a lot of talk has been happening with Shedeur Sanders, the question has been raised, are the Browns setting up Shedeur to fail, right? And I'll give you some context behind that, because he's actually going to be starting tonight in the Browns' opening preseason game against the Carolina Panthers. So there have been 11 practices so far. Shedeur is obviously fourth on the depth chart. You have Joe Flacco. You had Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett. Well, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and then you have Shedeur. Now, Shedeur has only been practicing against the third and I believe fourth string. I don't believe he's even gotten any snaps against with the first team or second team. He may or may not have, but I believe he has not gotten any first. I know he hadn't gotten any first team reps. But again, he's going to start in the preseason opener against the Panthers tonight. Now, I get it. You know, I personally and honestly don't. I think it's being dragged a little bit. I don't think Sanders is being set up to fail. Could the Browns have done a better job with preparing him for a moment like this? Yes, they could have. He could have and should have gotten, you know, at least some reps with the first team. Now, he obviously will before in the game. But I do think practice, he should have at least gotten a feel for it. I don't think he's being set up necessarily. I wouldn't go as far as to say he's being set up to fail. And reason why is because he actually has a huge opportunity to silence the doubters and the haters with this start tonight, right? And aside from all that, right, with all the injuries that the quarterback room is facing right now, who else is supposed to start? I mean, you got Joe Flacco. He's older, veteran. Obviously, they're not going to put him out there in the preseason. You got Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett. You know, they have hamstring injuries that they're recovering and trying to come back from. Then they just brought over and signed Tyler Huntley, who, you know, he hasn't had any reps, right? So, you know, he's going to be the second string behind Shedeur. Now it'd be different if they brought Tyler Huntley over there and then still didn't let Shedeur, you know, start. You know, and again, I get the questions and concerns, but we really got to stop this narrative. You know, I if the Browns didn't play Shador, there would be riots, right? But again, he has the chance to play. Calm down. Relax. Let's just wait and see what Sanders does when he gets on the field, right? Let's not write him off and say, oh, he's just, you know, he's going to fail, because Shador could very well get out there and light it up, right? And prove to everybody what he's known about himself and what we've seen, you know, him do at Colorado. And, you know, obviously there was outrage about the draft. I think that he was drafted, you know, lower, way lower than what he should have been? 100%. Should Dillon Gabriel have been taken over him? Absolutely not, right? But again, despite all of that, right, despite the side comments, remarks about him not, you know, taking his interview seriously and all of these things, right? Despite all of that, he has an opportunity to go out there and show and prove that he can do his thing, right? So let's stop the narrative. Let's instead, you know, cheer the brother on and hope and pray that, you know, he goes out there and obviously remains healthy and lights it up, man. Does his thing. Shows some spark, right? This is not going to happen overnight, right? Sometimes, you know, the pressure brings out the best in people, right? And so we'll see. We'll see what happens, right? I'm not going to say I don't think they want him to fail, right? I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say everybody in the organization doesn't want him to fail. I'm not going to make that claim, but I do think that, you know, people in the organization do want to see him succeed. I'm not going to say everybody, but I don't think that majority of the people in Cleveland don't want him to succeed, right? I'm not going to go as far as to say that, right? I think this is an opportunity, right? This is God makes things happen for a reason, right? God works in mysterious ways, right? And if this could be his opportunity to light it up and actually turn some heads, and let's just say something down the line happens and you know, Joe Flacco gets injured or something like that, instead of turning to a Kenny Pickett or a Dillon Gabriel, hey, we need to be looking at Shador, right? So again, everybody calm down. Everybody relax. Let's see what the kid can do. All right. All right, man. Well, look, that's all I got for y'all, man. I really appreciate everybody tuning in with me and rocking with me, giving me some of your time out of your day, out of your evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to it right now. But look, I hope y'all have a blessed evening, a blessed weekend, man. And look, like I said last week, man, we'll be back to do it all again next week, man. Be blessed. Y'all go out here, enjoy this weather, be happy, be healthy, be safe. I'll see y'all next time, man. I'm out.